In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Last week, we taught of baptism's inexpressible gift, that is, receiving the name of God. With God's name comes his favor and presence. The name of God is the unique gift that baptism gives when compared to the other sacraments. Nowhere else is God's name placed over us. And since in baptism God gave his name to us, God commits himself to us. There's no expiration date on God's name. I often teach the name of God received is like a tattoo that's placed upon your forehead and your heart. Once God has placed it there, you can't just rub it off. You can't just rub off God's name. He cares for you all the way to the end. There may be times when one won't live up to what the tattoo of God's name says. One may live in unrepentant sin and fall out of God's grace. But God's name is still plastered on them, and his commitment to restore them never runs out. Even when one may turn their back on God, God doesn't turn his back on them. Tonight, Luther explains to us the benefit of having God's name. Baptism gives forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. This benefit is enormous. And again, this enormous gift is in such simple water. With such inexpressible gifts, it can be hard to teach the benefits of holy baptism. This teaching that baptism forgives sins and gives eternal salvation is baked in very churchy doctrinal language. But take that teaching into the real world, and you can see the blessings and value of baptism. For example, my oldest brother grew up Lutheran, and his wife grew up Charismatic Baptist. When it came for their newborn daughter to be baptized, they had long discussions about baptism. Were they going to baptize her as an infant in the Lutheran church, or were they going to wait until she was older to be baptized in the Baptist church, waiting for her to be able to make that decision on her own? Of course, seminary-trained brother at the time was asked to chime in and talk with the sister-in-law. And where did we start? Where we must always start, with God's own word. First, we went through the passages of the Bible that taught about baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism saves you. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 talks about Christ's work that he accomplished with his death and his resurrection are now gifted to you in baptism, that baptism connects you to the cross and to the resurrected tomb. Acts 2, 38 through 40 talks about how baptism grants the forgiveness of sins, and that this promise is for the people who were there and for all their children. Any progress when talking about these things? No. Then we talked about Luther's teaching in the Small Catechism, supplied with a plethora of Bible references. Any progress then? Nope. at various points for the next couple of months, we would talk again. But she kept getting hung up on the fact that she wouldn't be the one choosing to be baptized. And maybe the baptism would be more special and meaningful because of her decision. And she was also hung up on how an infant can't repent or have faith. I'm sure you've heard similar things from people. But if you notice, baptism wasn't correctly understood in the first place. Baptism isn't something that I do for God. It's not an event for me. Me committing myself to God. It's an event where God commits himself to me and never lets go. God is the actor of the verbs in baptism. And I am just the object of the verbs, the receiver of the action. Nevertheless, it's hard to shake a false teaching when it's taught by everyone around you. Eventually, I said to both my brother and sister-in-law, "This is what God's word says on baptism. I believe God at his word and what he says about baptism, and you should believe God at his word too. Aren't these gifts expressed by God in his word something that you want for your child? And just imagine if, God forbid, something happens to your daughter. You will be responsible for her receiving or not receiving such eternal gifts because you read the word of God and refused to bring her to the font. Don't you want to raise your daughter knowing that she is already God's child and not just a wait and hope and see if they make a decision for Christ or not?" This finally struck a chord. They brought their daughter to the holy waters of baptism, and I am a sponsor to her in her baptism and her faith. Luther often used Mark 16:16 to teach about baptism. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. This verse is helpful in showing us that the contrast is not between believing and baptized and then unbelieving and unbaptized. For as Luther and the scriptures teach, our faith does not make the baptism, but rather faith receives that gift of baptism. He explained this in a sermon in which he recounted the three main things of baptism, none of which include faith. The three things were water, the words spoken at the moment of baptism, and the mandating and instituting words of Jesus himself. Faith wasn't included. Because the question isn't, do you trust Jesus? But rather it's, did Jesus die for you? It's not, are you saved? But do you have a Savior? If you are asked, or it's not, do you have faith, but are you baptized? If you are asked if you are in the kingdom of God, then the right answer is yes, I live where Jesus is living because he has attached himself to me. Not, yes, I gave my heart to Jesus. Because that's referencing yourself as the reason why you're in the kingdom. Faith isn't a prerequisite for baptism. Rather, faith receives baptism. And it must be understood that faith isn't something that we do or we believe, but rather it's something that's given to us. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift that even in utero John the Baptist was given by God. In our baptismal rite, Luther's flood prayer captures what the Catechism teaches tonight. The prayer goes like this: through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. That blessing of the waters took place in the reading from Matthew 3's reading tonight. John the Baptist didn't understand why Jesus came to him to be baptized. John's baptism was geared toward repentance for sinners. Yet Jesus, the Holy One without sin, came for baptism. But in Jesus' baptism, we see Jesus' complete solidarity with us sinners in baptism. For Jesus did not come at this point to judge, but to be judged, to be the recipient of God's wrath. Jesus came to bear our sin and be our sacrifice. Jesus came to the water as the God-man. And it's here in this water where Jesus' holy body sanctified the water. And immediately the heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit came as a dove. And the Father's voice boomed from heaven and claimed this one as his beloved Son. So water isn't just plain water, but it's water in which the Son of Man bathes, over which the Holy Spirit hovers, and over which the Father preaches. So in baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins, not because the Word of God was just kind of mechanically added to the water, but rather because the cost of Jesus' body, his life, and his blood is involved in this water's washing. Water, blood, and spirit crying. Jesus came not only by water, but by water and blood. 1 John 5:16. It's not only wrong, but foolish to elevate my faith when we recognize what a weighty thing Jesus is doing in our baptism. Because if we look at my faith or what I put into my relationship with God, if we're being truly honest with ourselves, we'd see that I input rebellion and denial. We wouldn't see what I would want other people to see, which is a person who's holy and gets it right pretty much 95% of the time. We're so easily misguided by Satan's delusions that we think that if we belong to ourselves and to our own devices, we'd be better off. Nevertheless, despite our sinfulness, Jesus declares to you that forgiveness and salvation are yours because his water and his blood have been poured upon you. Heaven is wide open for you unless you close it. For the voice of your Father has claimed you. This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.